Hi, Marty Lear here on KNBR 680. What a beautiful day for baseball and a big celebration. The 1954 World Series, the New York Giants and the Cleveland Indians. And interestingly enough, the last World Series game ever played in Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. The last World Series game ever played at the Polo Grounds. Art Spander, of course, a wonderful columnist, the great baseball historian. The 1954 World Series, Art, what do you remember?
Well, let me tell you, the last thing I remember is Hank Thompson catching the final out at third base and the Giants winning. So many factors in that. A guy named Bob Hunter, now deceased, was the baseball writer in Los Angeles. And he wrote a lead that even today, 60 years later, stays with me. He said, after game one, the Cleveland Indians left the Polo Grounds today muttering to themselves about 460-foot outs and 250-foot home runs. And, of course, if people have read or they know, Willie Mays, the catch, which we've seen thousands of times and can never see too many times. And then in the bottom, was the bottom of the ninth, Dusty Rhodes pops a ball up. And because the Polo Grounds, the upper deck overhung the lower deck, it probably didn't even go 250 feet, and it fell in there for a home run. And all these factors, the Indians had set a record with 111 victories. They were heavy favorites, and they got swept by the Giants in 54.
Boy, Art Spander with us, alluding to Dusty Rhodes. And you look at the pinch-hit home runs, a pinch-hit single, and he hit for Monty Irvin all the time. But Leo DeRocher did it early in the game as well.
Yeah, he did. Leo, of course, managed, and you mentioned Monty Irvin. The other day, when they had an anniversary here, and Monty is 95 now and living in Dallas and sent his regrets that he couldn't be here. And, you know, as we get older, and I'm 75, so I've been around. People look at me, oh, you're old. But when you hear the names of people you watched as a kid or read about as a kid, it just sends a chill through me. And Monty Irvin, Willie Mays, I mean, great players. Duke Snyder, all these guys. I didn't see them all, but I talked to some of them. I read about them, and it makes me feel 12 years old again.
Boy, very nice. Al Rosen, a big part of the Cleveland Indians in those days, a third baseman. And if you looked at that eighth inning, which is maybe one of the best innings in World Series history. Rosen on first. He got a single. Dobie had walked on second. Mays makes the amazing catch off of Vic Wirtz. Rosen goes halfway. He's got to go back to first. Dobie had thought it was over Willie's head. He only gets to third after tagging up. Al Rosen, a great player. And this was a great time for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once again, he was an MVP at, what, 53 the year before. So a lot of people don't realize, before the ESPN era, when not everything was on TV and you had to read and people didn't know everything as they do today. And so if you were a baseball fan, and you and I certainly were, you followed everything. You read the sporting news. You read the papers. A lot of the papers didn't carry box scores. But in 1951, I grew up in L.A. In 1951, television went national live. So the first thing I saw was the Giants-Dodgers playoff. And our junior high school teacher in Los Angeles set up a little 10-inch TV in the gym. And, of course, it was 3 hours earlier out here, and we watched the game during our lunch hour, at least most of it, and I did see the Bobby Thompson home run. So by 54, we were getting a lot of games of the week, and we got the World Series live, black and white. But, you know, it was tremendously exciting. As I read now, and you understand, we got the Warriors, we got the Lakers, Warriors, Clippers, Sharks, everything. You have the A's across the bay, the 49ers, the Raiders. But in those days, there really wasn't a lot in the United States. There was Major League Baseball. And I read stuff, and they said after World War II, the only three sports that really mattered in this country were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. And boxing is almost dead once in a while. Horse racing, only the Kentucky Derby. But baseball is very much alive. And, of course, we go back just like this is just great having all these memories and the players who are still around. And Willie Mays certainly is.
Boy, nice to have Art Spander with us talking about the 1954 World Series, Giants and Indians. The Giants sweep the Indians. Indians won 111 games. The Giants won 97, 14 games behind. But still, they end up sweeping the Indians. Some of the names of the series: Ruben Gomez, Johnny Antonelli, Early Wynn, Bob Lemon, Mike Garcia. I mean, these were some of the icons of the game, and it was a great World Series. Even though the Giants won it, it wasn't easy. They got a lot of big hits.
Well, a couple of things. One, you mentioned Lopez and Antonelli, and of course, they were here with the San Francisco Giants a couple of years later, 4 years later. And, of course, the Indians had an incredible pitching staff. Four guys who were, you know, the Garcias, Lemons, and those people. And so, and 111 games out of 154, not out of 162. So that was like unheard of. And of course, one of the best and the worst things of baseball is that you spend 6 months trying to prove who the best teams are, and then in a week, sometimes you'll have a great week, and of course the Giants did 2 years ago in the World Series. Everything went right for them, and then sometimes everything goes wrong. The famous Gil Hodges in 52, he goes 0 for 21 or 0 for 22, or whatever it was, in the World Series, and it's like he's a bum. And Billy Martin, meanwhile, in 53, gets 7 or 8 hits in the World Series when he hits, what, 248, 250? So, in a way, it's very misleading, but it's what we look at and gear our and as our standards. You're World Series champions, and of course, the Giants here, by winning the last couple of years, have exercised a lot of demons.
Boy, nice. You say nice to have Art Spander with us. You know, I was thinking as you were talking, the heroes of baseball. And Friday night, we here at the ballpark celebrate the only home run with a bobblehead of one of the beloved broadcasters, really, of all time, Dwayne Kuiper. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's funny. At first, he didn't like being known, you know, oh, my God, don't ask me about that, when he was still playing. But now he's infamous for it, as well as famous. And, look, he's not a home run hitter. And if he had hit two, nobody would talk about it. But by hitting one, it makes his memories there. And, of course, I think he enjoys it. Maybe deep down he wished he hit a few more, but he didn't. And of course, he has as much fun announcing the Giants, he and Cuco, who are great, as I think they did playing. A lot of guys say, oh, I wish I were playing again. But I think, and I saw, you know, Cuco pitch here and win in 86, the most wins for many years for a Giants pitcher. But they seem to just be having a wonderful time behind the mic.
Art, last week we had on Galen White, who wrote a book about Steve Bilko of the old Los Angeles Angels. And I bring it up here. We talk about Dwayne Kuiper with his one home run. Steve Bilko hit over 330 home runs in the minor leagues and was an icon of Los Angeles baseball in the mid-50s. So here's Dwayne with his one. He gets a bobblehead. And you look at the 50s, if there were bobbleheads, Steve Bilko would have gotten one.
He had a bobble stomach. Jim Murray once wrote, Steve's stomach gets to the plate before he does. But, you know, I grew up in L.A. in the mid-50s, and Steve Bilko was the Willie Mays, was the Joe Montana of that era in L.A. And he hit, I think, 55 and 56 or 55 and 50 in 55 and 56. And I was telling a couple of young guys who work in the Giants PR department, you see, Wrigley Field, and you've probably seen it on Home Run Derby, it was deep down the lines. It was 333. And I went to Wrigley Field or Gilmore Field every Sunday, who was ever home, Stars or Angels. They had a 9 and a 7. So I got to see all these guys. Carlos Bernier, people like that. Frankie Baumholtz. But Bilko hit these long, towering fly balls, and the power alleys at Wrigley Field were 360. So, yes, the ball went out, and he couldn't hit a curveball, and he went to the Dodgers, and then he went to the Angels, the New Angels, the Major League Angels, and they played there in 61, the first year. And, you know, a kid, obviously, the world was so different. You couldn't do this anymore. I rode my bike all across L.A. to see baseball games. And the Cleveland Browns trained in San Bernardino and the White Sox at Brookside Park right next to the Rose Bowl. So, you know, I was 12 and 13 years old, and it was just a great thrill. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy seeing, like, Irv Noren, who was with the A's. He played on the Hollywood Stars in 49. And I just remember that. I brought him a picture last year, and his daughter was so excited. So it's just a lot of fun to look back.
All right, Art, no one does it better than you. Art Spandler, a great baseball historian. Giants World Series. We covered a lot of territory, Art. You do it beautifully. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Marty. Appreciate it.
That is one of the great sports writers of all time, Art Spandler, right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.